your Bibles, or turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. I'm reading out a New Living Translation. You can click on that if you'd like, if you're watching us online. Hallelujah. And verse 6, it says, "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while." Everybody say, "I must endure many trials for a little while." Now, that means endurance is not how we contemporize it sometimes today, contemporary look at it. It's not just put up with or tolerate. It means cheerful endurance. It means patience that is also joyful. You're exercising faith and patience as you're growing through the process of a trial, the process of a test, the process of being tempted to get out of faith and get into fear, or get out of faith and get into the flesh. You have endurance. It's key. "These trials will show you that your faith is genuine. It is being tested, as fire tests and purifies gold through your faith, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it becomes much it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." And so we see here that in these verses of Scripture that our faith can and will be tested. We shared last week that our faith has to grow and stay healthy. It's an important component and aspect of our Christian life and journey. Our faith has to grow and stay healthy. It's not good if your faith is not growing and you are spiritually unhealthy. I'm just telling you right now, that's not a good place to be. And so you have to stay, grow, and stay healthy to endure tests, trials, and temptations. So how do we grow our faith? We grow our faith by two main primary methods. By feeding it, the Word of God is faith food. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so you got to hear the Word. That means you don't just read the Bible, you feed the Bible. That means you read the Bible out loud. See, if you're just reading it mentally, you're not feeding. You're just reading. I want to challenge everyone to feed the Bible, not just read the Bible. Because your mind can't feed as well as your mouth can feed your spirit. Your mind can't feed your spirit. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That means put the Word of God in your mouth. Like God told Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart out of where? Thy mouth." That means the Word of God is mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. It resuscitates your faith every day when you put the Word in your mouth. Like that one preacher's wife. One time, cut up scripture strips and stuck it in her husband's coffee in the morning. He drank coffee in the morning, so she gave him a cup of coffee cup, and he started drinking the coffee, and he was spitting out the paper. He said, "What is this?" He said, "You got to get the Word in your mouth." What am I saying to you this morning? Friends, you got to get the Word in your mouth. You got to get the Word in your mouth. You got to get the Word in your mouth. Number two, by exercising. That means you got to release it. You got to release your faith every day. In other words, use your faith muscles every day. Release your faith. Develop in it. If it's just something a little simple like a lunch or something, you must be believing God for something every day. Why? Because you got to exercise your faith. We often say you can take a day off or you can take a vacation, but never take a vacation on your faith. Do not take a faith vacation. You have to grow your faith, and your faith has to stay healthy. Amen. That's good enough for you to come to church this morning. All right, so when our faith grows, we said this, Satan's dominion over us wanes. And then circumstances become less formidable, number two, and then fear is destroyed. Those are three prominent byproducts of our faith growing. Okay, So we're also told to test ourselves to see if our faith is genuine. Now, let's look at this. 2 Corinthians 13, 5 and 6. Same translation, New Living Translation. Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. So when's the last time you examined yourself? Well, we're going to help you this morning. We're going to give you some tools and scriptural technology to use to examine your faith. He said, test yourselves. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith. As you've test yourselves. How many times do we have to see that? Examine yourself. Test yourself. Amen. I hope that you will recognize that God has not failed the test of, we have not failed the test of apostolic authority. And David said, one of Israel's great leaders, he said he welcomed these tests in his life and his leadership responsibility. Look, Psalm 7, verse 9, New King James Version. It says, oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God does what? He tests the hearts and minds. He tests the hearts and minds. So we're talking about the testing of your faith. This is part number three. And so last week we gave you the five parameters or faith testing parameters that you can use as a tool to test your faith to see if it's genuine, if it's authentic, if it's real, true Bible faith. The first, we just take in the word faith and breaking it down into an acronym, F-A-I-T-H. So F is focus continual on God's promise. Where's your focus? When you're being tested or when you're going through, as we're going to talk more about today, a temptation, where is your focus? You got to focus continually on what God's promises say. In other words, we focus on the answer, not the problem. We focus on the answer and not the problem. Somebody say amen to that. So feigning and quitting occurs when your focus is lost. When people faint in their minds and get weary and start worrying and wandering, it means they've lost their focus. Natural reasoning will take you away, will take away your focus and talk you out of faith. If you got something that the doctor says is incurable, or it's permanent, for example, you can't focus on what the doctor says. Thank God the doctor's just giving you an accurate medical fact and report. But that's not what faith says. Faith says the same thing that God says. And God has already said in 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes ye or you were healed. That's an established truth in heaven. So according to the word of God, you're well, you're healed. It didn't give a caveat if or this condition only applies. No, he said, by whose stripes ye or you were healed. You had to focus on you were healed, and then because you were healed, that you are healed right now. In the spirit, in the reality, in the mind of God, you are healed. But if you just focus on what the doctor said, particularly if he says you got dementia, onset of dementia, you got this memory loss, you're struggling with this depression, you're struggling with this disease, you're struggling with this diagnosis, you're struggling with this situation, come on now. But you have to focus on the Lord. Natural reasoning, if you're sitting there pondering and meditating on the report, not of God, but of the doctor or the devil, then it will take you away your focus and will take you out of faith. You'll go slide right back into fear and the flesh. And right off the get-go, you haven't passed the faith test. See, broken focus is a big reason why many fail the test, faith test, and succumb to the temptation while in the process of to receive the end of their faith. See, he's this scripture in Peter, that whole chapter, receiving the end of your faith. There is a beginning, but there's a middle, and there's an end. So when you start the faith process, then you can't stop it or get out of it because you won't receive the end of it. Second one is A, ask God for what you need. So you ask God for the things that you want and need, and then believe that you have them. In other words, when you pray, believe that you receive what you ask for. So the scriptural condition is Mark 11, 23 and 24. Let's read it. For surely I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, that's a requirement, does not doubt his heart, but believes, where? In the heart. Faith begins with the heart. Romans 10:10 tells us, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:6 tells the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Where do you got to get the word? In your mouth, so that you can get it into your heart. The heart is the faith production center, the faith manufacturing place. You got to produce faith in your heart. Faith works in the heart, even with thoughts of doubt coming into your head. Faith works in the heart. What does it mean to believe with my heart? It means to believe with your spirit. Believe with your newborn, recreated human spirit. That means you got to get your spirit filled with the Word of God to form faith and start the faith factory going, and so that the faith that in your heart is firmly established. That but believes those things which he said will be done, he shall have whatever he says. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. In other words, if you're facing a challenge, if you're facing a crisis, if you're facing a condition, then you got to have faith when you pray. Don't try to get in faith when you pray. He said the requirement is you got to believe that you receive when you pray. So when do I receive, Pastor? Well, you receive when you believe that you receive. Oh, somebody's going to get that tonight. Hallelujah. You got to believe that you receive it. That means you got to act like the Bible is already done, that you've already completed. It's already accomplished in the spirit. You're just waiting and thanking the Lord that it's going to be manifest soon and very soon in the natural. Now, what people fail this one is when they ask, they hope that God's going to get to them. They hope that they're going to wish it. They put it always out in the future. I hope so I'm going to get better. I hope at some point this is going to improve. No, you never were in faith. See, hope's a good waiter, but hope is a poor receiver. See, faith is a receiver. That means you take it now. When do you take your healing? Once you prayed, you believe and receive. That means you take your healing, you take delivery of your healing right then and there. What about when your needs are needing met? You're praying and believing that your needs will be met. When do you take your needs met? Right then when you prayed. You take it with your faith, and faith is a spiritual force, like we said before. Faith is God's creative power. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. In other words, we take it with our faith. Most people want to take their healing with their feelings. That's not faith. There's no feelings in faith. There's no physical senses in the operation of faith. Faith is of the heart. Faith is of your spirit. Faith is you, your spirit reaching out and saying, I believe what God's word says is true. Amen. Over and above my physical senses and my mental reasoning. Come on now. Hallelujah. I believe I receive. So when I pray, I believe that you believe that you receive whatever you, whatever it is you're praying for. And you shall have it. It's not complicated. It's simple. But the devil a lot of times gets in our minds and makes it complicated. Well, when is it going to happen? Well, it's never going to happen. If you're asking that question, you're already out of faith. You prayed empty prayer. Amen? Because it's beyond natural reasoning. See, the Word of God is not designed to make sense. Because he's saying, believe that you got it before you get it. That believes I take it and have it before I actually have it. Huh? What? That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't have to make sense. It just has to make faith. Come in. Because faith can move mountains. Faith can blow away impossibilities. Faith can do anything and for anybody. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:3. Let's look at this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Listen to this. This scripture means that everything we need has been provided for us in Christ. Now, as so many Christians too many times walk around thinking that they've got to get their needs somehow, some way. Or got to convince God, God, do something, somehow, some way. He says, I've done everything. I bless you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. That means everything you need is in where? In Christ. And we talked about in Christ. Where is in Christ? In the Spirit. Everything you need is in the Spirit. Everything, all answers that you need are where? In the Spirit. Faith is a spiritual force. Faith is God's creative power. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, it's evidence of things not seen and not yet manifested. I might not see, or my healing may not be yet, but I believe that I received it now. Amen. We can't see those things, but they're there because God's word says they're there. He said, he bless you with every spirit. Healing is a spiritual blessing. Prosperity is a spiritual blessing. Poverty is not a blessing. Poverty is a curse. Lack is a curse. But we got to trust God for increase and prosperity. Now, I know some people get all messed up over that or get mad over that. No, you should be. Using your faith to tap into the blessings of God that he's provided for us in Christ. Family peace and family salvation is what? Is a blessing in Christ. We ought to tap into it and get into it by what? By our faith. See, there's sense knowledge, truth, and then there's revelation, truth. See, when sense knowledge, truth concentrates revelation, truth, it is the truth of God's word, then we should decide to choose and walk with, by revelation, truth. What do you mean? What does the word say? I remember we were hit with that all the time when we were in college, Bible college. What does the word say? Don't try to think and reason and imagine and come up with something concocted. No, what does the word say? Wait a minute. You got to tell husband and wife, got to calm each other down sometimes. Families and friends, you got to calm sometimes. You got parents and children. Wait a minute. Let's not get all worked up over this. What does the word say? And then that's what we choose to believe. See, that which is in the spiritual realm is made real in the natural realm through our faith in the Word of God. Our faith is what grasps it and creates the reality of it in our lives. Our faith is what grasps it and creates the reality of it in our life. See, when you believe that you receive the answer before you see it manifested, you really are appropriating God's word by faith. See, that's the kind of faith that moves God. That cranks his tractor. That gets him fired up. He's pleased with that. Amen. When you take him at his word and take his word and begin to appropriate his what he's promised into your personal life and into your family. Praise God. So we're on I now. I is imagine God's promises coming to pass in your life. Now, we said really all five of these are huge and very important, but this kind of separates the men from the boys, the girls from the women. Because imagine God's word promises coming to pass in your life. What do you see? Look at 1 Peter 1:13. It says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, be rest in hope. Fully upon the grace that is to come, that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird up the loins of your mind. What does that mean? That means you gotta harness your creative capacity of your mindset. What are you thinking about? What's on your mind? That's where your faith friends come into play. Because if you have nobody, helping you believe and helping you receive, then you're in a solo operation. Operating in a silo and an independent of your faith is very not necessarily the best practices. You know, I have friends that say, what do you believe in God for? No, I challenge them. They challenge me. What do you believe in God for? What are you saying about this? Because you got to be releasing your faith. You got to be walking by faith. And then you got to be able to see with faith eyes. See the answer, and then resist the negative thoughts, the negative ideas, the negative images of defeat and failure and destruction. You got to resist them. Sometimes you may have to cut the news off. Sometimes you may have to put the doctor's report to the side and not study and examine and Google everything about the doctor's report. Google's not God. You need a revelation, not information. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. Look at this New Living Translation. We are human, but we do not wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. The biggest maintenance has to be of your mind, friends. You have to be thinking about what you're thinking about. You have to be thinking about what you're thinking about. If you see where the thoughts precede action. Where the mind goes, the man or woman will follow. Feelings are controlled by our thoughts, not our circumstances. So if we're feeling mistreated, if we're feeling under pressure, we're feeling the panic mode, then it's because we've been thinking that way. Stinking thinking will produce stinking lives. We got to cast down those evil imaginations. We got to slap it down, shut it down, shut every thought down, every image down, every idea down, every suggestion of the devil down. We got to slap it down and shut it down. See, our thoughts are governed by and affected by observations, association, and teachings. That means you have to stay away from people who push doubt into you. Or talk fear around you and unbelief in around you. You must be sure to enjoy fellowship with those who contribute and add value to your faith. I can usually tell, particularly if I'm going to the hospital room with someone, if they're in fear or doubt, because sometimes they'll be around family members who's bringing in a whole bunch of fear and doubt. And then I walk in the middle of the room or after that, shortly after, and then I had to cut through all that doubt, fear, and unbelief. That's some serious heavy lifting, because it's nasty. It's tough to deal with. You got to watch the words spoken into your ears and spoken around you when you're in a test of your faith or trial of your faith or you're being tempted in your faith. See, the big question is, at this step of I is, are you meditating or are you medicating? Are you meditating or are you medicating? Too often Christians medicate on pain medicine or escapism activities. I'm just going to deny the problem. I'm just going to act like it's not there. See, denial is not faith. You can't deny the facts. See, they figure, well, I just need to take my mind off it. So they binge watch TV, they watch movies, or like now today they got subscriptions through Netflix or Prime Video and all those things. You got things you can binge watch, and then they play video games or social media, and they overindulge in those things. Or there's other improper or immoral activities. Why? To get them to escape the test or escape the temptations. You know how people will skip school because I'm not ready to take that test. I skip school. Well, God's faithful. He's loving, but he's also just. He'll put you back in the same class. And say, okay, I love you, but you're going to repeat the class. You got to go through the test again. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate in it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt will have good success. Meditation leads to revelation, which leads to results. So we must guard against every evil thought that comes into our minds, that tries to make us doubt God's word. See, God's word is full of victory and success and triumph and overcoming and blessings. Philippians 4:8 tells us we're to think on these good things, these things that are virtuous, lovely, good report, praiseworthy, gives thanks and glory to God. Hallelujah. We're supposed to think on those things. What are you thinking about? And then T is thank God continually that the promises of God are working in your life. 24/7. Thank God continually. In everything give thanks. Not for everything, but in everything give thanks. For that's the will of God in Christ Jesus coming. Once you believe that you receive, you thank God for it. You keep that switch of faith on. You keep that yet praiser and that thanksgiver up on high. If you're needing financial situations, you need to be spending much more time thanking God that the money is coming, that the money will come, that God meets all my needs. I thank you that every need is met with heaven's best. Come on now. You need to be thanking God if you're in a sickness situation, that according to the word of God, I'm healed. I thank you, Lord, that for healing me. I thank you that the healing power of God is working mightily in my spirit, affecting the healing and bringing a cure and undoing and taking out anything and everything Satan and sickness has done in my physical body in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for the healing power of God working in me. See, too often we face a challenge with our flesh and try to filter it through fear instead of raise up our faith. Then lastly, H, hold fast to the confession of God's word. Hold fast. Everybody say hold fast. Hold fast. So when someone says, what are you saying about it? See, a lot of times your confession is your public identification. You're going to identify with either Christ and his word, or you're going to identify with your crisis at the moment. Or your condition at the moment. So how's it going, sister? And so you got a chance to take your confession public and not be ashamed to confess Christ and his word before men, so that he, as your great high priest and the apostle of your, the high priest of your confession of faith, will take your confession before God and before the angels in heaven. What did he say in Hebrews 10:23? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, without changing it, without canceling it. For he is faithful, that promise. I mean, I remember one time, even over a family situation, Kenneth Hagin had to tell a lady, he had to hit her on the head with a 2x4. I mean, figuratively speaking, not literally, but figuratively speaking, had to, got to get her attention, make her mad. She's crying and complaining about her kids were just bad and running all over the place and not serving God, running away from home. One daughter was cutting herself. The other one was running out, playing around with some folks that's dealing drugs and doing bad things. And she said, he said, well, the reason they're doing it is because of you. It's your fault. You run your mouth and you nag them so much. She said, what do you mean? No. He said, first of all, if you don't change situation around, because see, faith will work for anybody, will work on anything. But a lot of times we have a slip on what? We have loose lips, and we sink the ship. We got to get a grip on our lip and not let it slip. In other words, we got to hold fast. Got to maintain your confession. Even when it looks four walls defeated around you, you got to maintain your confession. So he says, sister, will you do what I tell you? She said, yeah, I'll do it. He said, first of all, you need to shut your mouth. Stop nagging them. Stop trying to correct them and control them. I'm looking down. Praise God. So you got to stop nagging them and stop trying to correct them and control them. And say, let them do what they need to do. You be the best mother you can. He said, start on your son, because he was the oldest and he was running away. And he was slipping out and all this stuff. And so he said, when you every time you hear him going out the house at night or running away or going out at 2 o'clock in the morning and coming back, he said, wherever he goes, Lord, you surround him with faith and love. Release your faith. Release your faith. And then thank the Lord. Thank and praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So he did. She did with it. In 3 weeks, he came down and said, Mom, I feel like I want to go to church this morning. Well, she said, well, son, aren't you tired? You got in at, 3:30 in the morning, 3:40, 4 o'clock in the morning. Why don't you rest? She came down, and so she wasn't even pushing him. She wasn't nagging him. She was being obedient. There's an obedience to faith. Listen to me. There's an obedience to faith. Praise God. There's an obedience to the process of faith. You can't break up the process. She kept her word. She maintained her confession that her children are going to be saved and serving the Lord. The next week, did the same thing. He said, he was dressed this time, came down for breakfast, dressed. He said, Mom, I'm going to church with you today. Within 4 weeks, within a month, of holding fast her confession. Her oldest son was dressed for church, coming to church, got saved that Sunday at church, got born again, became a child of God. That Sunday night, he got filled with the Holy Spirit. Less than a month or 3 months later, somewhere around that time frame, he received a call into the ministry and was serving the Lord as a missionary in the mission field. A man of God. Why? Because she obeyed the process of faith. She kept her faith past the test. She held on to the confession of her faith without wavering. Let's look at another one. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. What are you holding fast to? Are you holding fast to your flesh? Are you trying to hold fast to your opinion? Are you trying to hold fast to your feelings? Your feelings could be all over the board, but maintain your confession. See, think of these parameters or guidelines or guardrails to help assist us in the keys to testing points or parameters that we should check oftentimes. Now let's look at this area of trials and trouble that come through us by the enemy. James 1, chapter 1, verse 2 and 5 gives us four critical biblical imperatives of to how to triumph out of our trials, how to triumph out of our troubles, how to triumph out of our temptations and testings that the Satan brings, that the devil brings. Now let's look at this. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. King James says, count it all joy. That means it should be a cause. That's the first imperative. And we know that when your faith is tested, everybody say, my faith can and will be tested. He said, your endurance has an opportunity, chance to grow. What is your endurance? That's the big deal. So let it grow. And when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and what? And complete, needing nothing. And if you need wisdom, ask the generous God who will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. See, when your faith is tested, you will always face resistance to the will of God and the plan of God for your life. It's not if, it's when. This perfect and complete needing nothing is the end goal. Finished and complete every part, lacking nothing. In other words, I passed the test. This is another opportunity. Satan brings a temptation, a trial to your way, and he's not trying to make you better. He's not trying to make us better. He's trying to make us bitter. He's trying to bother our flesh and get us all in the arena of sight and feelings, or in the arena where we are in fear of evil or something bad happening. He's not trying to make us better. See, the biggest distraction and disruption of the things you believe God has called you to see in your life and in your ministry is unfulfilled desires and wants. See, this is a position of strength we are to live and minister from. So when we go through the test, we're not trying to get out of the test or cheat on the test. You know, in some video games, they have cheat codes. And some people play those games, even on social media. They play those games, but they're good to cheat. Oh, I play games, cheat. Don't practice cheating. Amen. Amen. Go through the test. Make sure your test is genuine. See, this testing of your faith is not a sovereign test, but a satanic test. In other words, satanic temptation through contradictory circumstances or through unwitting people. People bring problems sometimes. And people cause pain oftentimes. Can anybody say amen to that? So sometimes Satan will use that person, even they knowingly know it. They are intentionally doing it, or they unwittingly don't know. They're causing you much pain. And the devil knows that they will be a distraction and a disruption to your life, which will vibrate your faith off of its place into a place of fear. Everybody say, pass the test. So the word trouble or temptation means the putting to proof by the experience of adversity. He said, when you experience all kind of troubles, or when you're tempted, not if, when, it's the putting to proof by the experience of adversity. So Satan is bringing this adversity into your life. And so we count it all joy when adversity comes in our life. Adversity is simply defined as one word, or affliction in the King James. Adversity is pressure. We call it opposite pressure. Oppression, opposite pressure. Pressure is what is the elements are in fear. Bible says fear has torment. Same word, pressure. See, the enemy puts pressure on what you believe. Pressure on your belief system. When you're running out of money and you lack and you look like you're coming up short and you're going to go under a little bit or get behind a little bit, what happens? That pressure comes on your belief system. Do I give? Do I tithe? Or do I survive? And some people succumb to the pressure. And when we succumb to the pressure, we get into fear, oftentimes. See, faith is your belief system's investment in the Word of God. Faith is says, hey, God says do this. God says he'll meet all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God said, amen, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that we meet in my house. God set up this system not for my demise, but for my development and for my increase and my prosperity and my success. Come on now. He's not trying to get stuff from us. He's trying to get things to you. Amen. And so we believe and we act on what we believe. But the pressure comes on our belief system to get us to transfer our trust from God and his word to the circumstances. You believe what you see and you believe what you feel more than you believe what God says. I'm hurting. Yeah, you might be hurting. Yes, that's real. It's real pain. Yes, this family situation is schismatic. I mean, it's ripped like a torn garment. We got a lot of strife and division going on at the house, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, that may be real. But see, faith is in the truth of God's word. And the truth can change the facts of what you feel and what you see. Truth always trumps facts. Truth is eternal. Facts are temporary. Feelings are temporary. Oh, I hope I'm helping somebody today. Amen. Praise God. Amen. See, the key word in this passage in Scripture is patience or endurance. See, patience is cheerful endurance, not groaning and moaning or not grumbling or complaining. Or it is consistently. It's to be constantly consistent and consistently constant. Constantly consistent and consistently constant. See, if you experience exercise endurance and stay patient during the trial or the adversity, then you will be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That means you will receive the end of your faith, which will be the restoration, which will be the recovery, which will be the reward, which will be the blessing, which will be the increase, which will be the triumph, which will be the victory. Somebody say, glory to God. See, impatience equals immaturity. And as far as the testing of your faith goes, you'll either have inward poverty or you have inwardly plateaued. You don't have enough faith, genuine faith, developed to pass this test. In other words, you're not going to pass this test. Look at James 1:12. James chapter 1, verse 12, New Living Translation. God blesses those who patiently endures testings and temptations. He blesses those who what? Patiently endure testing and temptation. That's the answer key. He blesses with the reward. With the restoration, with the reconciliation. Come on now. With the righteousness. When you patiently endure testing and temptation, afterward they will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. See, to endure temptation means that you, the one who perseveres patiently and stands firm in faith. Under trial, victoriously passing the test, such as pressure, problems, pain, and you will receive a due reward for your faithfulness. See, the faith is to step out is worthless without the faithfulness to stick it out until the end. Look at what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, New Living Translation. The temptations in your life are no different than what others experience. Some people think, well, I'm unique. My situation is special. No, it's not. It's common. It's the same as everybody else going through stuff. And God is faithful. That's an underscore statement that you need to make. God is faithful. Whether I'm going through the test or I just passed it, or maybe I failed it and have to go back through it again. God is faithful. Everybody say, God is faithful. Who will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so you can endure. A way out of what? Not a way out of the test. He's not going to say, well, you can go to the nurse's office. You're sick today. I know you're sick and tired of this thing. He's going to take away the pressure so you don't get crushed by the pressure. Away from out from under, listen to me, the pressure. That's fear. Because, see, when fear comes in, your faith goes out. If you let fear get in, the devil can come in. You get out from under the pressure, and you escape the pressure, so that way you don't have to make decisions based on the devil's stimulus or having the devil input you and influence you to make a bad decision under pressure. We all say, never make a decision under pressure. Always pray it out, and if you have a spouse or a partner in life, a faith friend, talk it out so you get wisdom. He said, if any man lacks what? Wisdom, let him ask of God. So if you don't know what to do, don't just be a man, an island unto yourself. Don't be a legend in your own mind. Come on now. Talk to God. Conclude, God, I need wisdom here. I'm under pressure. They want me to make a decision by tomorrow. Are you listening to me? See, this is a way out and a way of escape from under the pressure and not the problem. Why? So you don't blow it and yield into the pressure of the devil's pressure is trying to get into you to succumb to fear. The enemy of your soul wants you to drown in the bottomless pit of despair by thinking that you're the only one going through this problem. You're the only one. I'm the only one going through this pain. I'm the only one going through this kind of perilous situation. But you have to stop and think, God would not allow me to be here if he thought I could not handle it. I know it seems heavy. I know it seems sometimes hard. But God would not allow you to be here. That's what you got to think. If he knew I could not handle it. Amen? So in Christ, listen to this. In Christ, you say, I am engineered. I am equipped, come on now, to handle this. And the solution already exists because God has me here. God allowed me to be here. It's not the God's doing, but God's going to be with me. Come on now. If God be for me, who can be against me? What can be against me? Come on now. God's on the inside of me. He's never leave me nor forsake me. God is faithful. He'll take the temptation and the test that the enemy's bringing into my life experience, and he will cause me to escape from under the pressure. You don't escape the wrong way because that's the way you get in sin and disobedience. You escape from under the pressure. Amen. So God provides a way out from the pressure. And a way back if you get into sin. If you get out of faith into fear, start worrying, start wandering, start going off the reservation, so to speak. He has a way back. It's called repentance. And the repentance gives you a restart and a refresh back to a place where you can be back in faith again. Somebody say, glory to God. Last scripture here. 1 John 5:4, for every child of God defeats this evil world. And we achieve this victory through how? Our faith. So you got to know that's another answer key. How do you achieve this victory? Through your faith. No faith, no victory. If you have faith, faith is your victory. Somebody say glory to God. Come on, lift your hands and thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yeah. Masi kulobuhuse hetina mohose kelabahata. Mangro dista halamahate. This is a word of exhortation for maybe some here or online. Hallelujah. Yes, this next test that you'll face, God's hand will be upon you and his power and his grace. And you'll be able to face it with faith and not fear. So know that the Lord, your God, is near. So walk firmly in your faith and make sure that you stay focused on what I said. And then you will see the glory come into thee, and you will experience in life total victory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Nesto kuloba, ninkranakos to kuloba. Yanomosa, this is something else to add to that. He says this, faith works by love, not natural, but from above. The God kind of faith requires the God kind of love. So ensure your love walk is good, and your faith will work just like it should. So walk in forgiveness and in honor toward all people and all men. And your faith will be fresh and strong and healthy every day. So when you start the test and you begin, you will end. Receiving your faith, the end of your faith, because you don't walk in strife, bitterness, or resentment toward any. Lay down those oughts. Be quick to forgive. Quick to believe the best of every person. And your faith will bring the harvest of blessings to you and through you to many. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Somebody's getting healed right now. Hallelujah. Because you made a decision. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to walk in forgiveness. Now, next month, we're going to have a love feast and a hate fast. There's other things we're going to say, but tune in next week. We're going to announce that for 21 days, from August 2nd to the 22nd of August. For 21 days, we're going to have a love feast and a hate fast. We're going to fast hatred, selfishness. We're going to fast unforgiveness. We're going to fast this bitterness, this resentment. Come on now, envy, strife, divisionary work, being divisive. That means some of us will have to stay off social media for a minute. And some of us will have to cut the news off for a minute. Shut down your news feeds so you can keep the haterade from coming into you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Well, we thank you so much. We love you. We appreciate you. Hallelujah. If you prayed, if this applies to you, please send us a note. Tell us, Pastor, you're talking to me. Or send us a note to say connect at twcc-sa.org. Or send us a text message and let us know that God was talking to you. 210-941-3322. If you need prayer, we're going to pray a general prayer right now. But if you need prayer, please reach out to us and ask us to pray. And that's P-R-A-Y at 210-941-3322. Praise God. Let's pray a prayer. Let's dedicate and consecrate ourselves to a life of faith and to a life of love. Praise God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, for the faith that you've given us and the love of God that's been shed abroad in my heart. Now, everybody just say this with me. Say, Lord, I receive, I believe and that I receive fresh love and fresh faith for this month coming and this month ending and this year to come. In Jesus' name, Father, I consecrate and commit myself to walk in the love of God, to keep myself in the love of God, and to walk by faith and not by sight. I choose not to respond with my feelings or my flesh, but to respond to every test, every trial, every temptation by faith, through faith, and with faith in Jesus' name. Faith is my victory, and I receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior and the author and developer of my faith life, and my love walk in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. We love you. Appreciate